Good morning, church family. Good to see you in this new year. When I was last had the honor of presenting the lesson to you, I think it was November, and we answered five questions about joy and rejoicing. You will be happy to know this morning that we are only going to answer two questions, and the length of the sermon will proportionally change based on those numbers. Okay. This morning, these are the two questions I'd like us to look at and hopefully come away with a good answer. What does our church family need in a minister? So that's the minister needs us. And then the second question, what does a minister and his family need from us? That's the minister needs them. Okay, hence the title. Has anybody ever Googled the Warrensburg Church of Christ? Yeah, you don't have to raise your hand, but okay, thank you, Tom. There's not a lot out there. When I Googled for images, I found a couple of pictures of the building, this one and then the next slide. Notice this one is an older picture since there are still trees and a house to the south of us. You can tell the date a little bit, at least later than. And in the bottom is the banner from our website. If you haven't been to our website recently, thanks to Tom and Willie and Kirsten for keeping that going and doing a good job with that. And then we had a couple of pictures, but most of those were on Facebook, and I don't do Facebook, so I had to go to get Esther to log in and be able to look at Facebook. But when you think about the Warrensburg Church of Christ, what is it? Okay, this is the building, right? At least the front of the building. Okay? But God tells us that we are His people, His chosen people. We're His church. We're His family. And that God gave His Son to take us from death to life. This was out at the pumpkin patch at the Shepherd's. So it's just part of our church family. It's not everybody. But that was a good time. So when you think about the church, it's the people. It's us. Right? So what do we, the people of God, need in a minister? This was off the Facebook. I don't know why the writing on Dustin's thing is backwards. I think it got... I wasn't good enough to know how to fix that. So what do we need? Do we primarily need a preacher? Yeah, I think we've been very blessed with many men in the congregation who can come up here and deliver a lesson from God's Word and encourage us. Wouldn't you agree? We've been very blessed since Jeff's departure. That's an area that we have a lot of people who are gifted in that way. Do we need an evangelist primarily? Do we need a minister? Okay. If you recall the scripture that Joe shared with us the last sermon in November, and this may sound a little bit of repeat, but appreciate you, Joe. Ephesians 4:11-13. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Why? To equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So in answering this first question, let's look at these three roles a little bit more in depth. The first is that of the preacher slash teacher. In both the Old and the New Testaments, we have prophets from God, and their job is to bring a message from God to His people or to a certain people, to declare that message. Exactly what I'm trying to do this morning. If you're going to be worth your salt as a preacher, you're going to spend a lot of time studying God's Word. You're going to spend a lot of time in prayer asking for God's direction, and that's going to take up a big chunk of your week in order to develop a sermon or sermons and present those to God's people each week. Many preachers are actually very academically inclined, and you might be surprised that many of them are introverts. Because what do they spend most of their time doing? Studying. Okay? So that's kind of a quick look at a preacher or a teacher. Then you have the evangelist. Love evangelists. You'll know them. Okay? There are similarities between preachers and evangelists. Evangelists want to proclaim the gospel, the good news of God reconciling men to Himself. And they want to make disciples. Their passion is to lead people to Christ. And they love to study the Bible with people. They also love to teach other Christians how to do that, how to bring people to Christ and study the Bible. Evangelists can usually talk to anyone, but don't be surprised once someone becomes a Christian, what's the evangelist going to do? They're going to move on, and they're going to expect the rest of us brothers and sisters to help that new Christian grow in the faith. Because their job is, that's not their job. I'm going to bring them in, y'all help them grow. That's somebody else's gift, right? So don't be surprised when an evangelist is like that. That's their passion. That's their mission. And the third one, it's kind of hard to put as much in words, so I use pictures. Right? What is a minister? A minister is one who serves. That's pretty broad, right? Aren't we all ministers? All of us have these three roles to one degree or another that God has given to us. But a minister can take, you know, many forms of action. It could be distributing aid after a disaster, kind of like in that top left one. It could be helping with basic needs, helping with someone fix their house or food or clothing or anything. Visiting the sick or those who aren't able to get out anymore. Ministering to prisoners like Buckley does. And they even let him come out. I love that. They don't keep him there. There's so much more, right? We could fill up slides and slides and slides of what it means to serve. That's a minister. One thing I want you to catch. A minister is more characterized by what he does than how well he speaks. Did you catch that? You're going to know a minister by his actions more than his words. Okay? Now, don't we need all three of these? We do. And aren't all these roles given to more than one person in a church family? Most definitely. You know, we have various gifts in order to build up the body, to help us become mature. So absolutely, this is not just a one-man show or a one-man band. And we know it's going to be very rare to find someone who's good at all three of these roles. Joe had said in his lesson, we would be very blessed if God sent us a man who was good in two of these roles. Okay? But I'm not going to give up on God. He can do anything, so he can send us someone who's good at all three of these roles. But going back to the original question, you know, what do these people need? What do we need as God's people from a minister? As our minister candidates come and spend time with us over the next 4 weeks, starting this Friday, that's how soon it is, the shepherds, what we are asking you to do is try to get a feel for these men and their wives, their families, and where has God gifted them, you know, in these different roles. Try to get a feel on that. If we can't get the whole enchilada, I'm showing my West Texas roots here, a preacher, evangelist, minister, we would really like to get a strong minister who can preach and teach and evangelize. Okay. Because looking at our congregation and the gifts that God has given us, that's where we feel like what we need, number one, a minister to help us serve and help us serve better and more effectively in God's kingdom. That's what we're looking for. So let's change gears. That's kind of what we need. But what does the man and his family, what do they need from us? And before we jump into the answers, let's put some faces on this question. Because this is not some theoretical academic exercise, right? What do Derek and Catherine and Evan and Emerson Shepherd, what would they need from us if they come here to work? Right? What would John Paul and Rachel and Philip and Thomas Suchecki need from us if they came to work with us? Right? Flesh and blood, human families. And finally, what about Ryan and Cammie and Maley and Gordon Beavers? What would they need from us? Now, note, this is kind of an older picture because Maley, who's on her father's neck, she's 10 now, and Gideon is 7. So this is a little dated, but it's a good picture, don't you think? I like that picture. So what do they need from us? You know, number one, they need our support. They need us to support them. And there's four big ways how we can show our support, how we can demonstrate that we are on their side. Number one, we can pray for them. We've been doing that. We can continue to pray for them. We need to continue praying for them while they come, while they're here, and whoever comes Even if it's not one of these men, we need to pray for them while they're here in their work. In Colossians 4, 2 and 3, Peter wrote through God's Spirit, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Second thing we need to do is love them. It seems obvious, but it never hurts to remind ourselves, right? To review. We need to love this family as they come in, every one of them. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1, 22-23, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for one another, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. This love is an eternal investment. Not going to go away. All of our souls are eternal. And just as we love God, and He's told us to love the way that Jesus showed us how to love, you know, that's the only internal investments there are in this life. Third thing we can show them is hospitality, and that can show itself in many, many different forms and ways. And Peter talks about that in chapter 4 of 1 Peter. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers all over a multitude of sins. Anybody need some help with that? I like that. I'm like, okay, I need to love more. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various form. Some of our members have the gift of cooking. My wife can cook. If I'm going to feed you, we're going out. If she's not here and I'm going to do you right, I'm not going to cook for you. I don't have that gift. Okay? So hospitality looks differently depending on who you are and what your gift is, right? Okay. But we need to show the minister and his family hospitality. And the final thing is we need to support them with our finances. In the first letter that we have to the Corinthian church from Paul, in chapter 9, beginning verse 3, there are some people in that congregation saying, you shouldn't get any financial support from us. You need to go make your tents and then preach on the side. Right? Here's Paul's answer. Let's listen to this carefully. This is my defense to those who sit in judgment on me. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Peter? Or is it only I and Barnabas who lack the right to not work for a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink the milk? Do I say this merely on human authority? Doesn't the law say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain. Is it about oxen that God is concerned? Surely He says this for us, doesn't He? Yes, this was written for us. Because whoever plows and threshes should be able to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? So I think clearly from Paul's inspired writing here, there is biblical precedent that if someone is serving full time in God's kingdom, we should be taking care of them with our finances. And we do that here. So as we continue to pray for God's discernment and direction and wisdom as we go through this minister search, let's take another look at these families who are going to start arriving this Friday. So this is in chronological order. The other was not. Okay? Ryan and Cammie Beavers have been married for 11 years. He's currently serving as the college and young adult ministry leader for the Rural Hills Church of Christ in Antioch, Tennessee. They reside in Smyrna, Tennessee, and they, Lord willing, will get here Friday and are planning on leaving Monday morning. Okay. The next week, John Paul and Rachel Sachecki have been married also 11 years, and he is currently serving as the family life minister at the 53rd Avenue Church of Christ in Bradenton, Florida. They live in Palmetto, Florida, and they plan to be here the 19th through the 21st of January. After we get a week to regroup, our final candidate, the Shepherds, Derek and Catherine, they've been married 13 years, and he's currently serving as the family minister for the Southwest Church of Christ in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. They live in Tuttle, Oklahoma, and Lord willing, they plan to be here the 2nd through the 4th of February. So, those were the two questions. There's your quick answers, right? What do we need? We're looking for a minister who can preach and teach and evangelize. And we will support him and his family with our prayers, our love, our hospitality, and our finances. We pray that God will continue to lead us in this journey for his glory. So we've come to the end of the lesson. This is not our church building, okay? But it is a Church of Christ church building. And who are we? We're God's people, right? We're his sheep, he calls us. And at one time, every one of us was lost, right? So when we come to God's family, lost sheep are welcome here. We are not exclusive. We welcome everyone to come to the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and the Son of God. If you have any need this morning, if it's encouragement, prayer, reconciliation, forgiveness of sins, please come forward and one of our shepherds will be happy to speak with you. Let's stand and sing.